They can compact them if they have with Jihad Islamic, with Fatah, with the fighters of the resistance, that's fine. This is not our area of interest, but our area of interest, it's the civilians. And the civilians who are really in the eye of the storm, and they are the subject for the Israeli ongoing crimes. And still, Mr. KK, the ICC prosecutor, keeps silent, doing nothing, moving nowhere in this conflict, and doesn't hold Israel accountable for the ongoing crimes they committed over the course of years. Suppression, oppression, killing, blockade, apartheid, name it. I mean, all the menu of the crimes are there, which listed at Rome Statute, and no one is moving. No one is moving to provide any level of protection for Palestinian civilians. Once and again, this is going on now. At the course of these 60 or 70 hours, I mean, we having hundreds of people have been killed. Just children, we have above 100 children has been killed. Women, almost the same number. And the worst yet to come. We are sure, and we know that.
The Israeli Prime Minister has told Gazans to leave. It's unclear, of course, where you've been able to go. Then they said that he was misunderstood, that he was saying you should leave the Hamas sites in Gaza. Can you respond to this, Raji Sarani?
This is nonsense. This is nonsense. He is leading Smotrich and Ben Gafir. He is leading people who say Palestinians don't exist and who says Palestinians should leave. This is the land of Israel. This is the historical land of Israel, and we are taking over. There is no other state, and there is no other people. There is one people, there is one self-determination. It's for the Israeli Jews. So he's a big liar. It wasn't a spell of tongue. He came after cabinet meeting and after a meeting with his top security and military people, and he was reading from a paper. So it cannot be a mistake. He knows what he said, and he meant what he said. And I do believe what they are doing deliberately will lead to that if this is continue and then to stop.
What level of support does Hamas have? Hamas is the government of Gaza right now, since Saturday morning, the actions of the 1,000 or so Hamas fighters breaching the wall.
I don't think it's matter of the people support or not. You have to know when you are suppressed deeply by criminal belligerent occupation, when you are suffocated. Do you hear the bombing?
We hear it.
I mean, right now the entire house shaking while I'm talking to you. I'm living in the best area of Gaza. All right, and should be away from every problem. But everything around us has been bombed. And you don't know never your lottery number when it can be. There is no safe haven in this place. I lived all my life in this part of the world. I lived the mathematics and the chemistry, but I never, ever witnessed anything as such. And I'm telling you, I mean, if the Israeli made it, and they did, the landing carriage and situation will be much, much worse than this. Massacres will happen, I mean, to civilians.
You have heard, I assume, that Israeli tanks and military equipment are making their way to Gaza right now. So you're being bombed by the air. But the question is, will there be a total land invasion? Can you respond to what this means? Just to give people a sense, you're talking about this strip of land, Gaza, that's about the size of Detroit. There are about 600,000 people in Detroit. We're talking about 2.4 million people. It's one of the most densely populated areas on Earth. Raji, if you could take it from there.
Exactly. I mean, Amy, Gaza is one of the most densely populated areas on Earth, as you know. And if the army comes in, it will be like elephant in the garden. But I don't think any would love to be a good victim. They want to strip us, not from our own security. They don't want to strip us from the food of our children. They were not satisfied of having this criminal belligerent occupation. They are not satisfied with the blockade. They are not satisfied with the killing and the bombing and civilian wars has been happening in the last 10 years, but they want to do more. I think it's not human to be a good victim. We are the stones of the valley. We have been here since ever. We will continue here forever. And I think, if the Israelis did that, that means they are just melting the people of Palestine, of Gaza, just to be one body defending their very existence. This is our right and obligation, as the French say. Resistance, it's not only, right. It's your dignity, in it. And people shouldn't be good victim for a criminal belligerent occupation. When Russia invaded Ukraine and occupied Ukraine, the whole world stood and they said, we cannot support Russia and we have to support the Ukrainians against the occupation of the Russians. And we would support them not only politically, we would support them with money, we would support them with arms, we would support them with all what we can. And they asked all the free people of Europe and U.S. to go and join the forces and to join the resistance in Ukraine against the occupation. I don't know why Palestinians, if they die, are a criminal. If we think we are a criminal and terrorist, if we do peaceful intifada, we are terrorists. And when the Israelis doing massacres, one after another, they're just being supported, as had happened yesterday, by U.S. and by major European countries. It's a shame to leave Israel practicing the rule of jungle in this way against the Palestinian civilians.
I'm not sure
all what we want, simple and be clear. End of occupation. We want dignity and freedom, period, like any other people on Earth.
Raji, I'm not sure if this is the blast we just heard, but Middle East Eye is reporting that Israel just bombed the Islamic University of Gaza. Is that near you?
It's exactly 800 meters from me, and that's when I wasn't able, to talk to you. The entire building was like collapsing on our head.
I want to bring a Knesset member into this conversation, and this may be unusual in U.S. television, to be joined by the leading Palestinian human rights lawyer in Gaza, Raji Sarani, and to also bring in Ofer Kassif, a member of the Israeli Knesset. Ofer, as you listen to Raji speak from Gaza, and before that, Orly Noy, the board chair of B'Tselem, the human rights organization, Ofer Kassif is a member of the Knesset with the Hadash K'tal coalition. You were born in Rishon LeZion, which was hit by rocket fire, Hamas rocket fire on Saturday. Can you respond to what's happening right now and the decision of the Prime Minister of Israel and the cabinet to declare war on Hamas?
Thank you for hosting me, and I would like to express my gratitude for the former speakers. Orly Noy was a very good friend of mine, and Raji, and I wish you, Raji, and all of you security, peace, and health, of course. First of all, allow me to begin with some personal, statements. My family lives in Israel. I'm at the moment in Mexico before this war began, in a conference, in an international conference of leftist parties, including a delegation from Palestine. And we also had a press conference together, the Palestinian delegation and myself, because we share the ideas against the occupation and against war. I must say that, unfortunately, 2 days ago, I got a WhatsApp message from a very good friend of mine who was hiding with her husband in the kibbutz. And she told me she was very afraid and she could hear the Hamas fighters outside. Unfortunately, those were probably the last words she ever wrote, because she was murdered with her husband just after she sent me that message. A very good friend of mine was also against the occupation, a voter of our party. What I'm trying to say is that innocent people, innocent civilians of both sides, Israelis and Palestinians, paid the price of the arrogant, criminal, ongoing occupation that Israel refuses to end. And I want to say something very, very clear and very, very blunt. Nothing, absolutely nothing, can justify or legitimize the carnage that Hamas carried out in the towns and kibbutzim and the villages in the southern of Israel. Nothing can justify it. It is appalling. And even the occupation crimes, the crimes that Israel is guilty of, crimes of occupation, apartheid, ethnic cleansing, in the Nakba, those either do not justify such a carnage. At the same time, nothing and absolutely nothing can justify the massacre that Israel carries out now in Gaza, not even the crimes of Hamas. So what I would like to say in the bottom line, that following what Orly and Raji said, and I totally agree with them, the Palestinians deserve the right. They deserve the national and individual rights. They deserve the right to be realized, the right of self-determination, to enjoy their own independent sovereign state, their own government, the freedom of movement. They deserve to feel to live in peace and security without the daily pogroms by fascist settlers under the auspices of the occupation forces and the encouragement of this fascist government of Ben-Gvir and Netanyahu. The Israelis deserve peace and security. They deserve to live in a state which doesn't occupy, which doesn't oppress, a state whose government is not a fascist and racist one. And I would like to conclude, if I may, by taking the whole issue into and explaining it within a political frame. Israel wanted this violence. In 2017, Smotrich, who was then a member of the Knesset, but at the moment, unfortunately, this racist thug is a minister, a minister of finance, but as well minister within the defense ministry. He published 6 years ago, and it is explicit. You can read it, and I mean, you can Google and read it. It was entitled The Subjugation Plan, which boils down to three. First, the Palestinian occupied territories should be annexed to Israel as a whole without granting basic rights to the Palestinians. Second, those Palestinians who do not agree to live under this subjugation are going to be expelled from their homeland. And third, those Palestinians who are going to resist are going to be killed. What we see now, and the coup, by the way, that the government of Israel has been carrying out within Israel, all of those are means to that goal. The goal is to realize this horrific, racist, colonialist, fascist plan of Smotrich's. And the attack on Gaza is part of it. They use the terrible, horrifying, unacceptable carnage in the southern of Israel as an excuse to attack Gaza as part of the realization of this fascist subjugation plan. And we should stand together, join forces, all peace lovers, Palestinians and Israelis, Arabs, Jews, and the international community, must stand together and join forces to say to Israel, you are going to end the occupation now. You are going to end the occupation. The Palestinians must be liberated. The liberation of the Palestinian people is a just cause. It will also liberate the Israelis from the occupation. Because although the Palestinians are the victims primarily, but the Israelis are victims of the occupation as well, as we just saw 2 days ago. What? So we must put a pressure on the government to end it. It's up to the international community. It's up to us to act together and against all violence in Gaza, in West Bank, and in Israel.
Ofer Kassif, we're going to turn now to leading Palestinian-American professor, Columbia University, Rashid Khalidi, in a moment. We have to break. Ofer Kassif is a Knesset member in the Israeli parliament with the Hadash Tal Coalition. This is Democracy Now! We'll be back in 30 seconds. The Earth by Latrio Gibran. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israel's ordered a complete siege of Gaza after Hamas fighters broke out of the blockaded Gaza Strip Saturday, carried out an unprecedented attack by air, land, and sea on Israel. Over the past 3 days, at least 1,300 people have died, including over 800 inside Israel, over 500 in Gaza. We've been to Gaza and Jerusalem. Now we're joined here in New York by Rashid Khalidi, Edward Said, professor of modern Arab studies at Columbia University, author of a number of books, including The 100 Years War on Palestine. Professor Khalidi, thank you for being with us. As you listen to voices of Orly Noy in Jerusalem, of Raji Sarani, the human rights lawyer in Gaza, the attack we heard on air live, and Ofer Kassif, the Knesset member of Israel. Can you respond to what has taken place and what it looks like is about to take place? Israeli military equipment and tanks are headed down to Gaza now.
I'm afraid that the horrific casualties among civilians, Israelis and increasingly Palestinians, is just the beginning of what's going to be a awful, awful, awful massacre in Gaza. The desire for revenge after the killing of a very large number, hundreds apparently, of innocent Israeli civilians, is going to lead to a horrific massacre in Gaza of probably many, many more people than we can imagine. And I agree with what Raji said, of course, my friend Raji, who I hope is okay. And I agree with what Orly said and with what Ofer Cassis said. The war crimes don't justify other war crimes, and we are about to see horrific war crimes. But I think there are two things that have to be added. This has to be put within a context. And the context is not just occupation. The context is settler colonialism and apartheid. The people of Gaza, the refugees in Gaza, originate in the areas where Hamas fighters were attacking in the last couple of days. Those were Palestinian towns and villages in 1948. The ethnic cleansing of Palestine led to the cooping up of what are now 2.4 million people in Gaza. Today is Indigenous Peoples Day in the United States. These are the indigenous people of the southern parts of Israel that the Hamas fighters were attacking over the past few days. That's the first thing. The second thing is I think that we're about to see a paradigm shift. The idea that you can coop up 5 million people, put them behind walls, tighten the siege on them, use an eyedropper to allow them some food, some water, some electricity. That idea has exploded as a result of the horrific events of the past 2.5 days. This cannot continue. It's not just a matter of occupation. We have to recognize that you cannot treat an entire people the way Israel, not just under this neo-fascist government, but under all of its previous governments, have treated them. You cannot expel 750,000 people in 1948 and not expect the return of the repressed. You cannot commit daily violence against Palestinians. One Palestinian has died every day this year, in fact, slightly more, in the occupied West Bank. You cannot expect that not to lead to a reaction. The reaction will be violent. The reaction sometimes may include things that are unquestionably war crimes. But that kind of pressure put on an entire people over 75 years will necessarily, inevitably bring a violent reaction. And this pressure cooker that the Palestinians are in, which the Hamas military commander listed, he said what they're doing in Jerusalem, trying to take over the Al-Aqsa Mosque and turn it into a site of Jewish prayer, what they are doing in the occupied West Bank in terms of the effective annexation of more and more Palestinian land to Israel and the application of Israeli law to Israelis and military law to Palestinians. Apartheid, two legal systems in one place. The imprisonment of 5,000 Palestinians and the administrative detention of hundreds. And finally, the siege of Gaza. When Gallant, Yoav Gallant, the Minister of Defense, announced that he was cutting off fuel, food, water, and electricity to Gaza, he called the Gazans human animals. That's 2.4 million people who are being treated as if they are animals. They're not Hamas fighters. As Raji said, the fighters are one thing. Hamas is one thing. Hamas has imposed itself on the people of Gaza. The people of Gaza are the ones who are going to suffer. As in every one of these wars, almost all of the casualties are going to be civilians that Israel has waged on Gaza. This will be the fifth or the sixth attack on Gaza. And I'm very, very afraid that Raji is right. We are going to see unparalleled massacres. But I think we have to see that this may be the end of an era when people in Washington and people in Arab capitals assumed you could just fly over Palestine, ignore it, and pretend that we're in a new Middle East of peace while an entire people is living under this kind of incredible oppression in a pressure cooker. It had to explode.
And talk about what's happening now. You have the Republicans attacking Biden, saying that it's his support for Iran, making that $6 billion deal, unfreezing Iranian assets, that has allowed this to happen. The Wall Street Journal saying Iran is behind this. The White House pushing back. Blinken saying they don't have the evidence at this point. What this means, and also Hezbollah on the border of Lebanon and the incursion this weekend as well.
Well, I mean, the possibility of a wider conflict should terrify everybody. And instead of moving aircraft carriers, the United States should be trying to defuse the situation. Instead, I think they're blindly going ahead with the policies that they have followed in the past. You do not send presents, as President Biden has done, to an apartheid government that is moving towards basically destroying the protections of the Israeli constitution for Israeli Jews and annexing the West Bank. And that's what this administration has been doing. That's what previous administrations have done. We finance this occupation. We finance this violence. There are American weapons that are being used today, right now, in Gaza, to kill innocent civilians in violation of U.S. law. And American politicians blithely talk as if they live on another planet. I think, though, that the ground has shifted. And even though American politicians live in Never Never Land, as far as Palestine is concerned, reality is going to intrude itself sooner or later. There is a widespread revulsion across the Arab world against what Israel does in Palestine. Authoritarian, dictatorial, absolute monarchies are trying to ignore that, ignore the feelings of their own people, the sentiments of their own people. That's not going to work. You cannot make peace over the bodies of Palestinians. That's not peace. That is the peace of the dead. And the kind of repression that is being exerted day in, day out, theft of land, expansion of settlements, and so on, necessarily, inevitably, is going to bring a reaction. So whether the people living in Washington, D.C., and in their own alternative reality, believe it today or tomorrow, sooner or later, I think that reality is going to dawn. You cannot do this forever.
The National Security Advisor, Jake Sullivan, just 10 days ago said, you know, it has been very quiet in the Middle East, which has allowed the U.S. to move on to other areas of the world. Very quiet, he said. And I'm wondering if you can comment on that. And do you think what led to this attack by Hamas fighters on Saturday had anything to do with Saudi Arabia and Israel normalizing relations at the behest of the United States?
I don't doubt that that was a factor. I think the basic factor was that people couldn't live under these circumstances. And Hamas has basically acted in a way involving enormous brutality against civilians, things that are unquestionably war crimes. But it has acted in a way to shatter that whole paradigm. I think people are thinking very carefully in places that have normalized with Israel. The other thing that should be said, I think Orly mentioned this is a massive intelligence failure on the part of American intelligence, and especially on the part of the Israeli intelligence services. They had absolutely no idea this was coming. They transferred three battalions from the Gaza front to the West Bank to protect separate rampages against Palestinians, denuding the towns on the southern borders of the Gaza Strip of the people who could have defended against the attack by Hamas. This was one of the great deception operations in modern military history, and people are going to teach this. Leaving aside the war crimes, they're going to teach this in military academies for years and years to come. This is on level with the 1973 war in terms of deception and an entirely mistaken concept on the part of Israelis, thinking that you could do this to Gaza forever and that they would just lie down and take it.
And Rashid Khalidi, this news just came out from Times of Israel, also from the Associated Press. Egyptian intelligence repeatedly told Israel Hamas was planning something big. Warnings were discounted. This, according to an intelligence official in Cairo. Your thoughts on this in the last 30 seconds?
It's very similar to what happened before the 1973 war, when Israel was getting intelligence that the Egyptian and Syrian armies were planning a major attack. And the conception, the conceptia in Hebrew, that these people would never do such a thing, they're not capable of this. The arrogance that was involved in ignoring those intelligence reports in 1973 and in 2023 are among the things that led to this catastrophic outcome, which I think is going to change a lot of things in the Middle East in the months and years to come.
Rashid Khalidi, I want to thank you for being with us. Edward Said, professor of modern Arab studies at Columbia University. His latest book, The 100 Years War on Palestine. Raji Sarani, Palestinian Center for Human Rights in Gaza, leading human rights lawyer, speaking to us from Gaza as the bombs went off. Ofer Kassif, member of the Israeli Knesset, and Orly Noy, board chair of B'Tselem, Israeli human rights organization. That does it for our show. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. Hi, this is Jesse Brown, the host of Canada Land, Canada's only media criticism program. Every week I talk to some of the most interesting people in the country about some of the things that matter most. We talk about the news media, about comedy, film, music, and politics. And you can now listen on CJSF 90.1 FM every Monday at 5 p.m. Wait for it.